Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not a phrase, but maybe it will be after today, right? Like comparing apples or oranges to cookies. You've heard, though, apples to apples, right? There's even a game about that. You say this because you're comparing something of similar nature. It can be used with commerce, personal experiences, historical events, whatever you're trying to make a comparison between two things that are similar, right? Then you've also heard the other phrase. It's like comparing apples to oranges, thank you, not cookies to oranges. All right. Other than being fruit, right, an apple and an orange, they're not similar nature. They're very different. If you bite into an apple, or if you bite into an orange the same way that you bite into an apple, you're going to be disappointed. All right? There's not really much to compare between the two of them. With that in mind, that notion of comparison, take a look again at our epistle reading for today from Romans chapter 8. I think that if St. Paul was writing this today, he could start it out like this. The current state of suffering that we are in and that we live in and that we experience, it does not compare to the state of glory that we will experience. It's like comparing apples to oranges or oranges to cookies. It's not now and it will not be the same. So what does that mean for us? Well, for the sake of the sermon today, let's make a comparison. We're going to compare apples to oranges, and we're going to look at the figurative apples. And we're going to call this present age the time of apples. We're going to explore, well, what does this mean that, how is it that we got here? What's our role in it? And what does this mean for us? And then we're going to look at oranges, right? Or what's yet to come, so that we might appreciate all the more how different that will be. We start with here and now. How is it that we got here? How is it that we entered into this age of suffering? We go back to the garden where the scriptures reveal that there are two trees and they are laden with ripe fruit. One tree produced the fruit of life, right? And the other tree, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, one of those fruits were permitted by God for mankind to eat. That was the tree of life. And the other was forbidden, the knowledge of good and evil. The sad story of our current condition, of our current state of suffering, begins with mankind choosing for himself to eat that which was forbidden. Going to the knowledge of good and evil and sinking its teeth in deep. You know, interestingly enough, if you look through medieval depictions of the fall of man into this present condition of sin and death and suffering, you're going to see Adam and Eve standing there with fig leaves covering them. And on either side of this knowledge, or tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to see a woman holding in her hand an apple with a bite taken out of its juicy side. Now, the scriptures do not explicitly say that the fruit that hung from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was an apple, but it certainly didn't stop artists from depicting it as such. Nonetheless, the fact that mankind chose to do things their own way rather than God's way brought with it some heavy consequences. Into God's perfectly good and right creation, now comes sin and death. Now comes things like selfishness, dishonesty, lust, envy, murder, hatred, prejudice, sickness. And that's all just to mankind. See, what St. Paul is saying in Romans chapter 8 is that the consequence of mankind's actions affect more than just mankind. It affects the whole of the created order. That means the animals of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, they are all suffering as a result. So too the air that we breathe, the water that we drink, and the land that we live on and off of. Listen to what our Lord says to Adam in the beginning. Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and not my voice, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. As a result of their actions, the consequence of their actions, the very ground that produces the fruit of the earth, the wheat of the field, well, they're now subject to decay. They're subject to weeds and thistles and thorns scattered among them. Because of mankind's sin, there is now suffering among mankind. And, well, that comes from their own actions, and in part because the very ground suffers, because it's subject to futility, right? We have earthquakes in Venezuela, fires in Canada, famine in Africa, poisoned water in Detroit, clay for soil in Indiana. Suffering comes as a result of mankind's sin. Suffering for the ground and the air, suffering between mankind. It's all a result of mankind's sin. So from Adam and Eve on, mankind has suffered at the hands of one another and as a result of creation's suffering. Well, that seems pretty grim and bleak. But there's some good news in this as well. It's not all without hope. That's the key. The creator of heaven and earth promised to do something about the suffering, promised to do something about mankind's sin. He would deal with it by addressing the suffering's root, and that is the sin of mankind, your sin and mine. And to do it, he would enter into his creation as a man and endure our suffering. He would be lifted up on a tree to die, the tree of the cross. But that tree then would become the tree of life after his resurrection for all people who believe. We find in Matthew's gospel, Jesus on his way to that tree of the cross. And as he's on that way, he's teaching people. And early in the ministry, he taught directly. Now he's teaching in parables. It's no small coincidence that our Lord uses these agrarian languages or figures in his parables. Matthew 13 records two of them. One, which is the parable of the sower, which you heard last week. And this week, it's the parable of the wheat and the weeds. The parable of the sower introduces our Lord as the exceptionally generous and gracious sower of the good seed of his word, law and gospel, right? But namely, the good news that he is the solution to the sufferings of this current time. This good news is sown without regard to where it will fall or who's going to receive it. But when it does find good soil, it produces a bountiful crop. With similar language, today our Lord talks about the wheat and the weeds. But this parable has a slightly different focus. This one addresses suffering in this present age. In this parable, the Lord teaches that that in this world, there are going to be two types of people, basically. There are going to be those who live in faith to God and love for their neighbor, which is the wheat in the parable. And there are those who live without faith in God and without love for their neighbor. That is the weeds. And the suffering that Jesus is describing in this parable comes about when the wheat, that is, the people of God, seem to be choked out by the weeds. Weeds are going to do by nature what weeds do. Try to choke out the wheat, attack, belittle, persecute, shame. And here's the thing, the wheat will suffer. And when asked if the weeds should be pulled out, the Lord says, no. Suffering is going to be here for a time. Let the weed and the wheat live together. Let them even cause suffering to the wheat for a while, lest the wheat actually be damaged. Well, that is not what we want to hear, is it? We would love that those weeds be plucked out immediately. We want to hear that there's going to be immediate relief from suffering, from persecution, for bearing the name of Christ. We want to hear that there's going to be immediate relief from suffering that's caused by our own sin and our own consequences. We want to hear that there is an end to suffering immediately. But we don't. We are encouraged, however, towards hopeful patience. From the time of Adam and Eve to now, our existence on this planet has been an existence marked with suffering. Suffering that we bring upon ourselves with our own sinful thoughts, words, and deeds. Suffering between mankind and because of mankind. Suffering even between mankind and creation. If God hadn't intervened, suffering between mankind and our Maker. But see, that's where our hope lies. Our hope lies in the fact that God Himself has intervened to be present with us in the midst of our suffering. Thanks be to God that He has intervened for us and for our salvation. Thanks be to God that He has come to you. Thanks be to God that you have heard His call to repent and to believe that He is present with you. Thanks be to God that in Christ Jesus, the sower of the good seed, that it was generous and gracious in planting His word in your hearts and minds to bring forth an abundant harvest. Thanks be to God that He has called you to be His wheat as you live your lives in faith and in love, even among the weeds who seek to choke it out. Thanks be to God that the current state of sufferings that you and I and all of creation are currently living through are not worth comparing to the glory that's still yet to be revealed. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there is hope. Let's talk about the oranges for a moment. If the apples kind of are emblematic of the bitter fruit of suffering, well, the oranges just don't compare. If the apples are the present state, present age that's marked by suffering, then the oranges are the future glory that is to be revealed. The question for us is, when will that be exactly? And the answer, God only knows. But St. Paul anticipates it, looks forward to it, longs for it, because it is promised. He makes the comparison to our current state, our current sufferings in creation, to labor pains that a mother endures prior to bringing new life into the world. And Jesus makes the comparison to a field that endures the weeds among the wheat until the day of harvest. In both of these comparisons, there is a day that is fixed when the current sufferings become a thing of the past and the new thing has begun. A new reality is present. A new day has dawned. Here's the thing, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and the mystery of being in Christ Himself is that you are already included in this new reality. For Christ Jesus has begun this new thing in you already, even in the midst of your sufferings. A new day of his grace has dawned, for you have received the good news of Christ crucified and risen for you. The seed of the gospel has been sown among you. You have been watered from above in your baptism, and the Spirit is at work producing his fruits of righteousness in you even now. You are Christ's. Therefore, you already are a new creation, even in the midst of your suffering, and this you hold on to in faith. But what you are now in Christ, and what you are now in Christ, who you are now in Christ, will be fully revealed on that glorious day of harvest. On the day of our Lord's coming, he will raise us up, and all who have reflected his sufferings, and together we will fully reflect his glory. Our bodies will not see sickness or disease. Our thoughts, our words, and our deeds will be holy and righteous and pure. There will be no longer any suffering that has been caused by our sin, for sin will have been undone. The world will be remade, fully released from the bondage to decay that it was subject to. We will be in our bodies renewed together with the Lord, the saints of the past, and even the angels of his harvest. We will never again experience the effects of sin nor the assaults of the devil as we live in the fullness of his new creation. This is our hope. And all of this is because Christ Jesus, our Lord, shares with us the fruit of his salvation graciously from the cross, that true tree of life. And I got to confess, I'm sure my description of what's yet to come will pair in comparison to what the reality that we're going to experience. But there's much I can tell you from the witness of Holy Scripture. Comparing our present sufferings to the glory that will be revealed, well, it'll be like comparing apples to oranges. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.